I'm in the home of Mr. Gerald Whitley, who is the principal of Goldsboro High School in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Today's date is February 17th, 1991. Mr. Whitley is one of our 1989 principals. Mr. Whitley, would you introduce yourself and say that you know this is being recorded?
Okay. I'm Gerald Whitley, principal of Goldsboro High School, and I am aware of the fact that this interview is being recorded.
Mr. Whitley, I want to thank you for sending the questionnaire back to me.
Okay.
I'm doing research comparing the role perceptions of black high school principals.
Mm-hmm.
In 1964, there were over 200 black high school principals in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. When I wrote to the State Department last year, they sent me a listing of 41 black high school principals. And of those 41, some of them were principals of alternative schools. So we have less than 40. For the year of 1989. And what I'm doing is interviewing principals from both groups, and then I'm going to do an analysis. This is for a study that I'm doing toward my doctoral requirements.
Okay.
I'd like for you to just relax and just talk and listen. Okay. Now I want you to tell me a little about yourself and how you became a high school principal.
Okay, I'm originally from Goldsboro, graduated from Dillard High School in 1966, left Dillard and then went to St. Augustine's College in Raleigh, where I majored in elementary education, returned to Goldsboro and taught in the middle schools for 4 years. In 1974, I went to the State Department as a consultant and worked with the Division of Human Relations. While I was there, I started the master's program at East Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, I returned to Goldsboro City Schools and served as the human relations coordinator for the Goldsboro City Schools. I also had a chance to finish my master's work at East Carolina. I did that for about 3 years. That was with a federal program. That program was phased out, so I was then assigned to the high school as a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Served as a guidance counselor for a year, and at the same time, I did some coaching. Following that year, I was asked to serve as assistant principal at one of the middle schools. So I went to the middle school and stayed there for 3 years. And at the same time, I continued to coach at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I had moved over to coaching girls rather than junior varsity. So I coached girls basketball and girls track for 3 years. At the same time, I served as assistant principal of one of the middle schools. In 1981, one of the principals at the middle school resigned in, I think it was like November of 81 or something like that. And so they asked me to assume that principalship, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
So effective November 1st, 81, I became the principal of the middle school. Did that for 2 years. And then I was transferred to the junior high school. Stayed at junior high school for 2 years. I took a year off and went back to the State Department and worked as an executive assistant, where I went around the state and trained other administrators and helped put on seminars and workshops. When that year was up, I returned to Goldsboro Junior High School again. Stayed there for about 8 months, and the state asked me to take another position, so I did. That was the time when it was getting into evaluating principals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they set up a special project using outside evaluators.
Mm-hmm.
And I served as a site director for one of those projects. And I did that in Kinston City in Lenoir County for about 7 months. And believe it or not, Goldsboro asked me to return. They recruited me to come back. I was able to negotiate some things that, you know, that I wanted. So I came back as the principal again of the junior high school. Thought I was settled in for a while, had all plans of being there. At that time, the principal of the high school had a heart attack.
Hmm.
He recovered from the first one, went back to work. He worked maybe for about six months, and then he had another heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And this one happened to be fatal.
Mm-hmm.
So then they asked me if I would assume the principalship of the high school, and this was in October of 88. So I started October 15th of 88 at Goldsboro High School as a principal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there until this day. So that's kind of how it came around. I was in and out and back and forth. During that time, I did consultant work, did workshops and all that kind of stuff with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of fell right in place for me. Mm-hmm. So I've been in about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Are you still doing consulting work?
Yes. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's a workshop coming up and sponsored by the Student Services Division of the State Department in Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing a session there.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, I'm going to speak to the student body at Smithfield 7 Senior High School. This is Black History Month. They asked for me to come and speak mm-hmm. to the student body. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I still do some of it. Mm-hmm. I did some work with the PELP program mm-hmm. in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. I served as one of their first black consultants. Mm-hmm. I did a seminar on time management for them.
That's where I first met you.
Okay, you were there.
Yeah, uh-huh, when
okay.
you did I wasn't with PELP, but it was one of the conventions I went to and conferences, and you did the time management.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay.
So, and you were at the junior high school then.
I was at the junior mm-hmm. high, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to tell me something about, are there any educators in your family, or are you the first?
No, my aunt is, she was one of the first, really. She went to school at Elizabeth City, left Elizabeth City, and worked in North Carolina for about 2 years. And then she went to Philadelphia, and she's been in Philadelphia ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And she has since retired from that system, and she's working out with the local government in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the first.
I want you to tell me something about your high school, something about the history, the students, the faculty members, racial compositions.
Okay. At Goldsboro High School, we have approximately, we fluctuate anywhere from 1,250 to 1,300 kids, depending on the time that you ask.
Mm-hmm.
We run what we call an extended day school as well, and we count those students in our regular population. We house grades 9 through 12. We offer approximately 138 different courses at the high school. We have advanced placement courses in English, history, math, and science. We are unfortunately, and I say unfortunate because of what it does to our students, we have a five-track curriculum, which we have what we call the Exceptional Children's Program. Then we have the basic program for those students who really need some help. We have the general program. Then we have the college prep. And then we have what we call advanced placement.
Mm.
And we kind of place our students according to ability. Although in one sense, they are able to move from one track to the next. And I say it's unfortunate because in most cases, although you can move from one track to the next, once you enter a certain track, you're pretty much locked into that. And that causes some problems for some of my students. In terms of faculty, we have 85 classroom teachers, and then we have about 15 additional support persons for a total of 100 professional folks on my staff. I have 3 assistant principals, 3 regular guidance counselors, plus I have what we call a teenage pregnancy prevention coordinator. We have some vocational counselors and all that. So I have a total of about 7 counselors in different areas. We run a standard 6-period day, 55 minutes per period, operate on with 2 lunch periods and that thing. We have, in terms of the composition of students, we have probably the finest, from the finest families in Goldsboro to the very poorest. It has traditionally been Goldsboro's situation in terms of educating some of the finest students and families that we have. And that's because of the curriculum that we offer. Again, we offer foreign language, 4 years of Latin and Spanish and French, advanced chemistry, advanced biology, computer programming. So your very best students are attracted to Goldsboro. But on the other end, we also serve students from 7 different project housing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that how that mixture is. And then we serve everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
Composition-wise, in terms of race, we're about 83% black, 17% white. My staff is about 55% white, 45% black. So it's a pretty nice mixture there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of we're fairly close in terms of balancing that. I feel good about 55-45.
Mm-hmm. That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you about some areas, and I want you to address them. Deals with your responsibilities. Supervision of personnel and teacher selection.
Very active in that, in terms of teacher selection. We have a pretty good system, I think, in Goldsboro City Schools, in that we, the principals, are actually allowed to interview and pretty much make the selection of the person that we want. What happens is the people or the prospective employee will put in an application with the Goldsboro City Schools. The associate superintendent in charge of personnel will then interview those persons and will give us probably what he feels, you know, the top five or six. And then we in turn interview those persons, and then we say to him, we would like to talk to this person, or we think this person is the person for the job. And 95% of the time, we get the person who we asked for. So we feel real good about that. What that does to me then is it makes me more responsible for that person in terms of career growth and what that person does, because I had a lot to do with the actual selection. So that works fairly well for us, and I don't have a lot of problems in that area. Mm-hmm. In terms of supervision, we're responsible for supervising all of them. Now, having three assistant principals, that sometimes causes some problems. More of a problem of coordinating than anything else. What we do is we actually divide up the evaluations, because like I told you before, I got 85 teachers. Mm-hmm. And we rotate for those persons who are responsible for three observations. Each one of us will observe that person, or three of the four of us will do that. And then we have people who only get one observation, and then I usually will observe those folks. All new people coming on staff, I give all three of those observations, and I'm responsible for the final say in terms of whether or not they receive tenure or whether or not they're recommended for the next year. The assistant principals may observe that person, but not in a formal capacity. They really don't start doing that until that person has been tenured or that person has at least been on the staff for a year. I pretty much assume that responsibility for the first year. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Curriculum and instruction.
Get a chance to do some of that. Quite honestly, it's very, very difficult to get in all aspects of education as you would like to. I'm very fortunate. I have department heads, and my department heads are very good people. I was fortunate in that I've been able to replace three of them from the time I started. And they're very supportive, and they have a good handle on what curriculum is and where we're going and what we're trying to do. Sometimes a curriculum designs or changes come from the wrong source, unfortunately. Sometimes the Board of Education or members of the Board of Education have their own agendas, and there are a few things that they like to see implemented in the high school, and in my opinion, they're not always good. And they have a tendency sometimes not to see the ramification of some of those things that they implement. But for the most part, I do have pretty much leeway in terms of what's implemented, how it's designed. We need to do the research on it. We get all the information together, and then I make recommendations to the superintendent, and he in turn makes recommendations to the Board of Education. So we have a lot of input. It's just so time consuming, and sometimes you got to weigh the priorities in terms of when you're going to do what, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Discipline.
I'm totally, well, I play a major role in discipline in the high school. A major role. We have been able to put in some discipline policies that the majority of the staff and students have bought into, and that has helped us tremendously. I'm probably the head disciplinarian in the school, and I know that, and I don't back off from that. I seem to have a lot of respect for the students and faculty. They seem to know what I expect. We will not put up with a lot of foolishness, and they understand that. At the same time, I try to understand that they are kids. They're going to make some mistakes. They need to have the guidelines and things like that. So I try to understand that and help them to grow from their mistakes. But to answer your question, basically, we divide the discipline up by classes. And then I cover the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one person who's basically responsible for freshmen, one for sophomores, one for juniors, and one for seniors. And then anytime there's any problem, they can't get to one of those, and they can send the kids to me. Mm-hmm. I always take the freshmen. The freshmen are mine. Mm-hmm. And I do that because it gives me an opportunity to get to know the kids from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And it gives me a chance to work with them from the beginning, because we have assemblies when we start, and I work with the freshmen and try to acclimate them in terms of where we are and what we want. So it gives me a good start with the freshmen because I always take them. And then once they become sophomores, I pass them on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I deal with the ones that I need to deal with as we go through.
Okay. Transportation.
I have very little to do with transportation, fortunately. And we're very thankful. That's just not me, though. That's that's our school district. I think we do something very unique in that we have a person who is totally responsible for transportation from the central office level. Okay, they do all the routing. This person or this office does all the routing of the buses. They hire all the bus drivers. They train the bus drivers. They are responsible for any accidents or anything that happened. The only thing that we deal with as far as buses are concerned will be the discipline on the bus. And a lot of that he even handles. If it's some major stuff, he gets the calls, then he deal with it. But transportation, fortunately, we don't have to deal with it. Now, I do know that I'm still responsible for it to some degree. But this man really handles all of it in terms of routing buses and all of that. I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm. No. Very good. Utilization of funds.
Well, we have a pretty good budget at Goldsboro High School. We get a decent amount of state funds and decent amount of local funds. We get some federal money, it's not a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we have a lot of in-house monies like clubs and organizations and things like that. If I looked at my in-house budget right now, I'm probably looking at $60,000 just in-house monies that we deal with. Large part of that, however, is athletics. They take a large part of your budget. And then there's those non-discretionary funds that you really can't deal with. You have them, but you can't do a lot with them. But we do set up our own budget. Every year, we are asked from the central office to submit a budget from Goldsboro High School. I, in turn, ask every employee on that school or at that school to be involved in that process through department heads. So through their department meetings, they submit to me their budget for the coming year. We then look at that, and I call them in and ask them to justify why this, why that, you know. And then we set some priorities, and then we submit a budget to the central office from Goldsboro High School. And then they take it from there and do whatever they can with that. But no monies are spent at that school unless I sign off on it. Mm-hmm. None. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it's for. I don't care how it was generated. I don't care how it was assigned. I've had people say, well, we're a club and we raise our money. Can't we spend it the way you want to? Yeah, but I will sign off before you spend it. Mm-hmm. You must submit to me a purchase order, a request for that money. Mm-hmm. I then will check with the secretary to make sure, in fact, that money is intact. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sign the purchase order and it will be, you know, then they can do what they want to with it. But we sign off on every dime. Mm-hmm. If a teacher, my teachers understand that if you go out to the one of the stores out here and you see something you like it and you buy it, and I've not signed off on it, you may very well pay for that. Mm-hmm. It may very well be yours. So we've cut down on that. We have a pretty good handle on the spending. When I first started there, I used to get receipts from places I didn't know what in the world it was for. And so we tightened up on that, and it's working fairly well. Again, they know that if they spend it without following proper channels, it very well may be theirs. Mm-hmm. So they understand that. Yeah.
Cafeteria management.
Here again, we're fortunate in that. We don't do a lot with that. I don't have to go in and count monies, or the cafeteria manager does not have to send receipts to me or anything. We have a person at the central office who's a food service director, and then at each school we have a cafeteria manager. And those persons run the cafeteria. They run the program in all of our schools. I do at times interview the workers, but other than that, I don't do anything with it. I don't have to plan the menu. I don't do any of that. All I do is occasionally, now we do help supervise it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have staff members, male staff members. We have two lunches, and we have staff members who go in at certain times every day to provide supervision in the cafeteria. And we have what we call a junk line, too. That's part of our cafeteria operations. It is not in the cafeteria, but all the proceeds go directly to the cafeteria. They operate that and everything. Mm-hmm. So I really don't do anything except supervising.
Okay. Building and grounds.
I don't do much with that. What I've done is each one of my assistant principals, and I have three, have certain responsibilities that are totally theirs. And I have one man who's in charge of building the grounds along with something else. Mm-hmm. Anything in terms of maintenance, the campus, furniture, all that stuff goes directly to him. Now, he in turn submitted that to me for my signature to go on to the central office. But I pretty much rely on him to take care of that for me. If there are things in my walking around, I see some things that concern me, I let him know that I'm concerned about those things, and he get them taken care of. He's also in charge of the custodial staff in terms of making their assignments and all of that. So I have pretty much kind of played the hands off with that and let him handle it.
Community relations.
That's mine. In that respect, what we do a couple of things. We have just like everybody else, PTA open house. We invite people out to, you know, to be a part of whatever it is we're having. My greatest community relationships, however, deals with events that we have at school, and I try to make it my business to be at most. Now, I don't travel a lot with the team because I had to give something up. But all my athletic events, all my concerts and all that, I try to be at those things because it's there that the community gets the impression of the kind of school that you have. A lot of folks will only see Goldsboro High School in relationship to what they saw at a football game or what they saw at a basketball game or a concert. So we try to do a lot of that. Now, being that I am the only black high school principal within a certain radius of Wayne County, I am invited to do a lot of things in community-wise, and I understand that. If people want some feedback or input from Goldsboro High School, then I'm the one to do it. And that sort of puts me out in the limelight quite a bit for that reason. But we send out newsletters. We got a school paper. We got a school yearbook and all this stuff that we kind of help us with community relations. Again, I attend a lot of functions, and as part of that, I'm representing Goldsboro High School.
You think the community has a good feeling about Goldsboro High School?
Yes, Goldsboro High School has it's nebulous sometimes, I guess, or in terms of how they feel, because at one point you can hear them saying good things, then other times you hear them saying negative things. But now you got to understand how that works. You take a school that's predominantly black, and you've got to work extra hard to have a good positive image. Because when anything goes wrong at Goldsboro High School, it's blown out of proportion. The same incident can happen at Goldsboro High School and happen in Eastern Wayne. At Eastern Wayne High School, you may never hear of it. I mean, it never hit the paper. It happened at Goldsboro High School, and it's big news. A fight can occur in Goldsboro High, and a fight can occur in Eastern Wayne. The community will know about the fight at Goldsboro. They may not know anything about the one in Eastern Wayne. And we deal with that quite a bit. So the support, I think, is there, and is really beginning to turn around, because we've done some things that I think probably unique in that, in terms of how we handle things. So I think we're getting quite a bit of support from the community.
How many high schools are in the county?
In the county, they have five, but now we're only one in the city district. We're very similar to Kinston City, the Newark County. We're not merged, you know. So we only have the one high school.
One high school, and how many elementary and junior?
There is one junior high, and then the elementary schools serve different grades. For an example, we have a school that serves K-1. Then 2, 3, then 4, then 5, 6, then 7, 8, and then 9, 12. Okay, so actually seven schools in our district. Sure.
How much administrative power and control do you have over your school site and your responsibilities?
Quite a bit. Honestly, I think I'm unique. When I go places and I talk to other guys, you know, I'm almost appalled at their situation, because they always got the Board of Education breathing down their back, or the superintendent's always in their building, or this community group is giving them pressure about this. I feel I have almost complete reign to run Goldsboro High School. Okay, now yes, there's the superintendent, and there's the Board of Education, but if I go through the proper channels and do things the way they should be done, I am rarely denied whatever I need. Now that's a fact, and that sounds funny when it's said, Because like I said, when you listen to other people in other situations, it just doesn't work out that way. My superintendent's a great guy to work with. The Board of Education is great to work with. And I'm able to run the school. Now, what I like about them is when it's going good, they give me credit. Mm-hmm. When it's going bad, they tell me, mm-hmm. you know. And it's not a situation like it's everybody's school when it's going good, mm-hmm. but it's Gerald Whitley's school when it's not doing well. I get credit for it both ways, mm-hmm. and I respect that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How did the desegregation of schools affect your role as a principal?
I don't know if I can answer that one. Because I wasn't a principal in another situation. I mean, you know, and it's kind of hard to make that comparison. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do know that from conversation with people who were principals prior to that they were in total control of that situation. They did all the hiring, all the firing, and everything. Mm-hmm. They just ruled it, so mm-hmm. to speak, and many times with an ironclad hand. But that's about all I know about mm-hmm. it. I guess I was a student in that situation, and I wasn't in administration during that time, so I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you find any difference in supervising blacks and whites?
No. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I guess in terms of supervising them, no. In terms of communicating with them, yes.
Yes, collectively.
But it doesn't mean that I change anything that I do.
Mm-hmm. Explain that, communicate.
Well, with some of the black teachers, you know, you have this special relationship with, because you've grown up with them and you work with them, and you might walk up to them and say, you know, listen, you need to get, you know, on the ball, and they, hey, okay, I understand that, all right. In the other situation, it's totally professional, always. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I lay it down. I say, listen, these are my concerns. Mm-hmm. And here are some ways we need to address those. And very rarely will I ever come up to a white teacher and say, listen, you need to get your butt on the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's always professional, laid out to the point. If you have any questions, here are the facts, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in most cases, it's that way with black teachers. Okay. But there are some black teachers who, like I said, I've grown up with, and I know them, and I can say to them, listen, man, you're slipping. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get on the stick. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. That takes mm-hmm. care of it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of turning my heads versus one, no, because that causes problems. Mm-hmm. If one is doing it, I make that correction. I don't care how the communication is. The correction is made, mm-hmm. and they always understand that. They know. They can pretty much tell you if I'm coming that way right now. Okay, now that's taking some time because I've been there 3 years and they had to get to know me. But they know what I expect, and if I'm not getting that, I will let them know, and they know it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy your job?
Very much so.
Why?
It's still a challenge. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the kids. I enjoy taking Goldsboro High School as a challenge. It's a challenge to me. When I went there, the reputation wasn't good, pure and simple. Just simply was not good. The discipline was beginning to slip. That's not to say anything bad about the person who was there prior to my coming. Those things were just facts. And now we're beginning to change that around. Students are beginning to feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Staff's beginning to feel good. We're talking about new and greater things in terms of year-round schools. Mm-hmm. We're talking about new programs for the kids. We're talking about joining the extended day school and the regular day school. We're talking about joining the junior high campus and the high school campus. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting, and mm-hmm. it's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoy going to work every day. Okay. Now, there are some bad moments, you know, but to see a child who we thought would not make it begin to turn around and make it, you know, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I opened school on Saturday for my kids.
Oh, did you?
I was out there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
from 9 to 12.
We have a tutorial program.
Mm-hmm.
We have it from 7:30 to 8:30 every morning. We have it from 3:30 to 4:30 every afternoon. Mm-hmm. And from 9 to 12 on Saturdays.
Who are the tutors?
Teachers.
Volunteer
teachers. What we've done is we've flexed their schedule. One example, if I have a teacher who does not have a homeroom, and that teacher volunteers to come in and work the tutorial program, Then rather than getting to work at 8:30 the other days, this teacher can come to work at 8 o'clock. This teacher can come at 8:30, 8:45. Okay, she doesn't have to rush. I have some teachers who have planning periods at 6 period, the last period of the night. Mm-hmm. If they come in and volunteer in the mornings or in the afternoon to do some tutoring, then they can leave at 2:30 rather than staying at 3:30. Mm-hmm. Those teachers who come to work Saturday from 9 to 12, they can get 5 hours early any way they want to get it anytime. All they need to do is let me know in case somebody called for them. I need to say, you know, they're not here, but I know where they are. You know, they are not here with my permission, okay? And it's working well. Yesterday we had 42 kids out there.
42. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. That's very good. Yeah. What do you consider the major problem of your principalship?
Major problems, trying to do everything at one time. The principalship is very, very demanding. It simply is. And the high school principalship, where you have a situation where you're predominantly black, you have a mixture in terms of students' abilities, you have the mixture in terms of parental support, community support, it just keeps you going all the time.